Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. I'm going to start out the show today with my friend Jeff Deist. Jeff and I were chatting off the air about the concept of raising the debt ceiling yet again, here right after the first of the year. I am personally adamantly against it. I know that Paul Krugman in an editorial a couple weeks ago came out and made some derogatory comments about those so-and-so Republicans who probably wouldn't be willing to raise the debt ceiling, and if in fact they didn't, people would be starving in the streets and babies would be dying, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to say Big Al takes exception with that. Jeff, what are the views, you know, your views and the views coming out of your office in terms of the situation with the debt ceiling? Should it be raised? Should it be lowered? Should it stay the same? What do you guys think?
Well, Al, as far as Congressman Paul is concerned, Congress should definitely not be raising it again. I mean, we're talking about a total amount of federal debt that's twice what it was only 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron can recall a vote to raise it to, I believe, $6.4 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
This next vote, which will have to happen in January, will be something like $14.1 trillion. So really, you know, it's become just a matter of course for Congress to keep raising it. The idea behind the law originally, which is an old law passed in 1917, was that, hey, instead of having Congress approve every Treasury offering,
mm-hmm.
which would become cumbersome, let's just let Congress set an overall limit, which the Treasury can't pass.
Right.
But now that's become sort of a twice-yearly exercise almost. And,
oh,
and
yeah.
You know, the Congressman Paul's point is this. He was on MSNBC the other day, and the infamous Jim Cramer was on there as well. And Cramer made the argument, much like Krugman, that, hey, if we don't raise the debt ceiling in January, that is going to throw turmoil into the markets and create huge uncertainties about the continued operation of the U.S. federal government. And we can't do that. Now, this is the same argument we've heard time and time again, which is, hey, look, just raise it this one more time,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get our act together, and we promise, just like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown, that this time we're going to start to rein in the spending. But it never happens. It's very simple. There's always an emergency. There's a war, there's, you know, annual 5-10% increases in the appropriations bills. And from Ron's perspective, you know, look, could we shake up the economy by having the federal government go into sort of an emergency period where it actually has to spend only what the Treasury takes in every month in revenues? Yes, that could shake the economy. But in Congressman Paul's view, it's going to shake the economy far less than an ultimate outright default on our Treasury debt. And that's where we're heading, because we're quickly reaching the point where the rest of the world is not interested in our Treasuries anymore. They see that we're not going to stop spending. They see that we're not going to stop borrowing. And that's why our own Fed has to come out as the de facto buyer of last resort for our own Treasury debt. So that becomes very circular, where the U.S. government issues debt and a sort of a quasi-U.S. governmental agency in the form of the Fed buys that debt.
Yeah.
It's not going to keep working. We're not going to be able to keep borrowing. So at some point, the rest of the world is going to put a limit on our debt, frankly. And Ron views that sort of default as much worse than the shakeup that we might get from having Congress impose some austerity next month.
You made a comment that I found really interesting, Jeff, and that was the rest of the world is going to impose a ceiling on our debt. We have some very, very interesting things going on right now among two of the world's major powers, Russia and China. Not long ago, about a week or so ago, Russia and China came out and said their bilateral trade is no longer going to be settled in U.S. dollars. It's going to be settled in their own currencies. Well, it was announced on Bloomberg on December 2nd that now China is strongly, strongly considering shoring up their own currency by having reserves not only in the Russian currency, but also by increasing the amount of gold that they're holding. Now, I tell you, I have been following Chinese developments ever since about 3 years ago. China came out and said to the Chinese government came out and said to its citizens, it's okay to buy gold and hold it. We believe that's the sound thing to do. Since that time, some very interesting things have happened. Number one, China has become the world's largest gold producer, surpassing South Africa. Number two, China has been chatting with other countries about going back to an asset-based currency that I know Congressman Paul really believes in, and that asset you know, that the currency is based on would be gold. Now it's coming out on Bloomberg that the Chinese are talking about increasing their stores of gold for that exact reason. Now, I have to tell you, I have worked with the Asian business community extensively throughout my career. I'll tell you, these guys are very bright. They're very long-term thinkers. And these indications to me, Jeff, are that, you know what? They realize the state that the U.S. economy is in, and they don't want us to drag them down, and neither do a lot of other countries around the world. What are your comments on that?
Well, I think they'd be wise to add gold holdings to add some instant credibility to their currency.
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly see where the rest of the world is headed. They see where Europe is headed with the euro, and they see where America's headed with the dollar. They would be wise to do so, you know, Ron's approach would be very simple. We wouldn't even have to impose a so-called gold standard or an asset-based standard. All we'd have to do would be to repeal U.S. currency laws that prohibit people from using things other than U.S. dollars within the U.S., and we'd quickly see a market for alternative currencies. And that might be gold, it might be silver, it might be whatever it is. But in the meantime, as far as Asia and Europe goes, you know, it's very simple. People have needed dollars to do business internationally for a long time, and that's because oil has been priced in dollars because of our agreement with OPEC back around the time that the United States finally and completely closed the Bretton Woods window in the early 70s under Nixon. So basically, the only thing propping up our dollar, despite our debt addiction since the 70s, has been the fact that oil is priced in dollars, and it's always been the world's reserve currency as a result. But as that starts to come to an end, as you know, countries start agreeing among themselves to do business in their own currencies, that ought to scare everybody whose savings and whose retirement is based on dollars.
Yeah. Interesting time. Jeff, in your opinion, and you're a bright guy, you're an attorney, you've been involved in the business community for a number of years, a lot of years, you know, as a consultant, as an expert, et cetera, et cetera. Let's forget about the direction, you know, the official line coming out of your office. Let's talk about what Jeff Deist believes right now. I mean, based on your past experience, where's this country going in your opinion?
Well, I guess it's a question of whether we want to let the bubble burst quickly and cause a lot of pain and hopefully get back on our feet, or whether we want to let it burst real slowly and just let the air out, sort of like what Japan did in the 1990s. But I fear it could be much longer. I fear it could be 2 or 3 decades. And, you know, as somebody with kids, that's not acceptable to me.
nope.
So, you know, the question becomes, what do you do? Well, I think you consider, you know, where you might move in terms of foreign countries. And if that doesn't work, you consider what you do here at home to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And I think what you have to do to protect yourself is understand that anything you own, a stock, a treasury, any kind of asset you own that's, you know, either held by a bank or based in dollars is at risk. I mean, what's to prevent your bank, which is really just a bunch of electronic blips and
a
plastic card you have in your wallet at this point, what's to prevent that from going down? So really I think it comes back to more tangible things, gold and silver, real property, community, you know, friends and family working together. You know, let's just hope that we're not facing something like a Great Depression here.
I have to tell you, I agree with you 100%. I think the odds of going into something like a Great Depression, unfortunately, I think those odds are better than 50% right now. I really do. But I think it's a question, Phil, not a question. I think the answer to the problem is, I believe in everything you just said. I think people have to have tangibles, whether that's real estate, whether that's a commodity like gold or silver, what have you. And on top of that, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Jeff, when you say that, you know what, people need to work together. People need to look out for each other. That's something that your boss told me a long, long time ago, 6 or 7 years ago. He said, we don't need to depend on the federal government to take care of those less fortunate than we are. We can do it ourselves. And you know what? That, in my humble opinion, is the direction that society needs to go in. Jeff, looking forward to having you back next week. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crisis. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Got a light, Jessica?
Nope.
But you're smoking.
I don't need a light. It's a Smoke Genie electronic cigarette.
Really?
You haven't tried them? It's just like the real thing, but better. It's so much cheaper. There's no tar and burning, and you can take just a few puffs and put it right back in your purse. You can even smoke one of these where regular cigarettes are banned.
Seriously? I'm sick of people telling me where I can and can't smoke.
I tell you, it's great. There's a bunch of them out there, but Smoke Genie is way superior in flavor, quality, shipping, and customer service.
I don't know. I've been smoking cigarettes forever. Not sure I could change.
Listen, there's a 30-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. I wish they had Smoke Genie 10 years ago. I would have saved a ton of money. And my clothes don't smell like smoke anymore.
Really? That's great.
And Smoke Genie even has next day delivery. Go to SmokeGenieCigs.com today and use the code RADIO for 10% off your order.
SmokeGenieCigs.com and code RADIO for 10% off? I'm in.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. I am Al Corlin. I appreciate you joining me. I have a gentleman with me right now who hasn't been on the show for quite some time, but you know, this guy is he hasn't been on the show only because out of sight, out of mind. He's a real expert when it comes to commodities. His name is Al Averoa. Al is involved with a weekly report entitled the Commodity Wire and Options Pro Report. He's a commodity strategist for an organization called Options Pro Group, which is located down in Plantation, Florida. He's in good company right now, or I guess maybe I should be in good company, because he has been quoted extensively extensively on the Dow Jones Wires, the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, Reuters, Bloomberg, etc. Very, very interesting guy. Al, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Good to be back.
Hey, you're big on silver. I'm very big on silver. You know, in terms of projecting future trends and the price of the commodity, you know, I'm more emotional than anything else along those lines. You, I have to believe, are probably, you know, you've got some real serious, compelling reasons for saying whatever you're going to say. And I don't know if you're a bull or a bear. I suspect you're a bull. But what's your impression of silver today, and where do you think it's going to head to over the next 12 months?
Great question when we talk about the metals. And I think that the big argument that we've been seeing in the metals, not just silver but gold, is are we topping? And,
yeah.
You know, to answer your question, what do we see in the next 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
And let's take more of a shorter-term look, and then we can kind of look out to 12 months. But if we look at just this month's price action in the metal markets, right after our midterm elections and then the following day with, you know, the FOMC meeting and the introduction
mm-hmm.
of QE2,
mm-hmm.
That's really when we saw our first real surge in the market, where gold over a matter of days from the 4th to the 9th was up $100, the better part of. We saw silver make a $5 charge plus. I think it was $5.39
mm-hmm.
that we saw during that period. So let's look at the two of them. One was up 7%, that being gold. The other was up 22%
right.
in the base metal price. I mean, that's a substantial jump. So what's the driving force there? What's the driving force of each of these moves? So if I look at gold and I try to figure out what the driving force here is, you know, is there an industrial demand use for gold? And the answer is no. It's used for jewelry, of course.
Sure.
But it's a non-dividend paying asset. It doesn't have industrial use. So what's the driving force there? It's psychological. You know, with fiat currencies, you know, coming into question, the use of gold as a substitute provides a warm feeling. The same thing that you and I have had private discussions about silver. You know, this also offers a comfort zone. But the main difference, I think, between the two is that silver actually has an industrial use that may actually offer it additional support. So in the short term, to answer the question, I believe that the market, both gold and silver, are overextended and are really going to be subject to speculation. I mean, if we look recently at the Commitment of Traders reports, when we saw fund liquidation right after the QE2 announcements, when we had increased margin requirements from the exchanges, both on gold and silver, we immediately saw some liquidation. And that put real pressure on us. So you saw long liquidation come into the market that started to pressure the market down until we got to some support levels. And then the buying came back into the market. So from an point that we are extended, I think that it's critical in the short term that gold hold the $13.15 level and that silver hold the $25 level. If either of those levels are breached, I think that we can see a lot lower prices without putting real technical damage on the charts. We could see gold down at 1240. We could see silver maybe, you know, in the low 20s or less. On the long term, well, now let's talk about the long term. What would slow down that market? And I think from a gold perspective, it's just, again, human psychology and how the economic recovery comes into play. Without a strengthening in the economic recovery, I think gold can run because fiat currencies will be, you know, disregarded. And silver, which is mined primarily as a byproduct of base metals, would get a real benefit because it's not being mined and the demand is still going to be there from industrial usage.
That's one of the reasons that I have been very, very intrigued with silver since I was basically in, I don't know, junior high school or high school. I mean, I started to read Jerome Smith's stuff on silver when I was just a kid, and what he was saying to me really made a lot of sense. And my personal opinion, you know, and people don't listen to the show for my opinion necessarily, but you know, I like the leverage involved that it offers, as you brought out, you know, vis-a-vis the, or comparing it, I guess I should say, to the price of gold. And also, I have to believe, quite frankly, that it's a lot more liquid. What do you think?
I do think that it's a more liquid instrument. I think that you're going to have people moving in and out of that market in the futures markets as well as from ETFs. But from usage side of it, let's talk just usage again. Think about this. Since, let's say, the last 20 years, probably to 1990, industrial demand has bested physical production by 1.5 times a year.
Right.
1.5 times a year. I mean, you've seen stockpiles dwindle from over 2 billion ounces to probably under 200 million ounces today. I mean, that's real demand. You know, some private forecasts call that if that relationship remains static through 2011, that might be at 0 ounces on reserves, on new supply. So I think if indeed that's accurate information, that puts a real price support to the market. I mean, be careful with that statement. That doesn't mean that silver can't go down. Of course it can. And it can go a lot lower. But that adds real value to the metal.
Yeah.
Where from the gold perspective, I think, and I'm not beating up on gold and saying that silver is much better, but from a value perspective, I think that there's additional usage that comes into play there.
You were saying, if I'm not mistaken, now you're looking at 1310 as being a bit of a basement for gold, if I'm not mistaken.
15. Well, I don't want to say basement. I think that if that level is breached, then we could go a lot lower. I think bulls are going to want to defend that 1315 level, but we could fall to 1240 and not really have any technical damage on the chart.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my opinion, that is. So that's a lot of room to give back or give up if you're just now entering the picture.
Well, silver going down at 25 is a bit of room to give back also. I mean, 27.09 today, up as we're recording, I guess I should say, 39 cents, up 39 cents today. Gold, on the other hand, was up $2.50 today or thereabouts to 1367. I have to tell you, Al, I am very, very comfortable right now with what we are doing, and we being my wife and I, in terms of precious metals. I think it's an incredibly safe place to be. Got about 30 seconds. Tell our listeners about your organization real quick, will you?
Absolutely. We are a licensed and registered futures and options brokerage firm. We can help clients and prospective clients look at gold, look at silver, look at it from approach of either using a futures contract or using an options contract. So, you know, if it's new to people, we encourage them to take the time, learn the tools. That's what we're here for. We'll help you out and decide if it's right or wrong for you.
Okay, Al Averoa, thank you so much for your time. We're going to get you back in the near future, buddy.
Like to be there. Thanks very much, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You worry. We do too. So that's why we made the new ofthefield.com website. New features include the ability to grow and expand, the Free Foragers Forum, and an ultra-secure e-commerce platform. In celebration of our launch, from now until December 6th, take 10% off on everything in our learning resources area by using the coupon code NEWSITE. That's N-E-W-S-I-T-E, no spaces. With this new platform, it is our commitment to serve the foraging community with questions, tips, tricks, and advice freely asked for and given by all. In these times, the strong and principled must stick together, share information, and form bonds stronger than any food tyranny. Wild food is both free to own and free to take, and together we can keep it that way. So go to ofthefield.com and use coupon code NEWSITE or call 888-51-EAT-FREE and give the gift that gives for life. That's ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. All of nature's bounty lies at your feet.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's getthetea.com.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Chatting right now with Brian London. Brian's an old friend, a guy who I respect an awful lot. Brian heads up the New Orleans Gold Show every year, happens every fall. But, you know, probably the most serious of all of the shows out there. He has great speakers, great companies exhibiting down there. It just is a very, very quality venue. Brian also writes a newsletter that you know, a lot of people subscribe to. I read it as often as I get it, which is regularly, and let me tell you, it's a very, very good newsletter. Brian knows what he's talking about when it comes to the resource industry, and we're going to pick his brain a little bit right now on what the fellow from New Orleans thinks is going on in the gold market. Brian, number one, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Al. Always a pleasure.
Over $1,400 an ounce on gold yesterday, silver approaching $30. Just how long can a good thing last?
That's the question of the day, isn't it? You know, Al, we've talked in the past how we both kind of expected a more significant correction than we've seen at some point this fall. And, you know, we had that little brief dip in mid-October, and that may have been the correction we were expecting. If so, it wasn't much. But things have really been surprising, the strength in the market. It seems obvious if you step back that there obviously is some speculation in the price right now. You know, there may be $100, $150 worth of speculation. But when you see these corrections, when you see a $20, $30, or $40 correction, you see physical buying coming in very quickly. I would not have expected that the kind of physical, you know, price-sensitive buying that we typically see coming out of India, I wouldn't expect to see that until the price would have gotten down to, say, $1,200. But we saw it come in force when we got down to around $1,320 or so. That says a lot to me. That says that the mindset has shifted in some of these developing countries, these big gold sinks of the world, like India, that the mindset has not shifted to the point of, they buy gold every month as a matter of course, as a matter of savings. They typically put off those purchases when the price has risen, figuring that they can buy it later at a lower price. Now that mindset appears to have shifted to the point where we have to buy it now. We'd better buy it now because next month it's going to be more expensive.
Yep.
That's a very important shift, I think, and that's why we've seen this physical buying supporting the market even on the way up.
I think what's interesting, really, probably the biggest change that I have seen of late anyway, and when I say of late, I'd say of the last 2 or 3 years, is when the advisor for the People's Bank of China came out on Thursday and said that he feels that China should consider adding to its gold reserves as a long-term strategy to pave the way for the yuan's internationalization. I mean, I tell you, I have been very, very intrigued with the Chinese position on gold ever since they came out about 2.5-3 years ago. The government came out and said to its citizens, go ahead and buy. We think it's a good idea. Buy it and use it as savings. Well, shortly after that, what happened? Coincidentally, China became the world's largest producer of gold. Then China and France started talking about a gold-based currency. I mean, it just kind of gets stronger and stronger coming out of there.
Yeah, and you know, people say, well, China announced a few years ago that it had bought gold over the preceding 4 or 5 years, and that was a big announcement. It helped the gold market. And naysayers and bears have said, well, gold, China has not made any similar announcements in recent times, so they're probably not buying or not buying that much. But the fact is China is the world's largest gold producer right now, and they're not going out and buying gold from the IMF. They're not making these huge purchases on the open market. They're just buying domestic production.
Sure.
And they've been doing it all along. And by virtue of that fact alone, they could be one of the largest purchasers of gold in the world right now, and we would have no idea.
Isn't that an interesting comment? Yeah.
That gold that's being produced is not going on to the global market, and that has the same net effect as if it did come onto the market and China had come out and made a major purchase of it.
We are seeing things that I never thought I would see in my lifetime. I mean, the run-up in gold that we had back in the late 70s, you know, that was, in my opinion, caused by one thing, and that one thing purely and simply was inflation. Today, the run-up in gold is caused by a dozen different factors, all of which are very, very important. Let's talk a little bit about the small companies that people could invest in. And, you know, we don't have to give any specific names here, Brian, but, you know, I'm a big believer. I personally don't buy physical gold. My wife and I buy physical silver, okay? But I invest in small resource companies because I like the leverage.
That's exactly right. It's taken a while. Even the major producers during this gold bull market, or in the last 3 or 4 years of this gold bull market, have had a hard time catching up to gold itself. One of the reasons was high energy prices kind of crunched margins at profit margins at some of the mines. Well, we don't have that degree or that level of high energy prices right now, and gold has risen so much that we saw some of the mining companies and major producers start to really leverage the gains in gold.
Yeah.
We've also seen, though, now over the past year, we've seen the juniors really start to show those kinds of explosive gains that we were all waiting for, and they've just been huge. And not just in gold. We've seen it in rare earths. We've seen it, of course, in silver. We've seen it in some of the copper plays out there.
Sure.
It's a big, wide world right now, and our challenge is to find the companies that have yet to run and have the potential to have those kinds of gains over the next few months. And, you know, we've done a pretty good job of that in Gold Newsletter, but we're constantly searching for the next one.
Tell our listeners, if you would, a little bit about the Gold Newsletter. I think it's one of the best ones out there.
Well, Gold Newsletter was started in 1971 by Jim Blanchard, and it was his tool to help, promote the legalization of gold ownership when it was illegal to own gold back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's the oldest letter out there, one of the most respected ones. We've carried on Jim's legacy, and we've really focused on these juniors. And every month we cover about 20 or 22 or so of the companies in our portfolio, the latest developments, put out new recommendations, take some off the list. I'm getting ready to make a number of new recommendations in our next issue, and particularly I've identified some what I would you would call cheapies with a chance in that UConn play.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the value, some of the prices have come back in the new UConn Gold Rush play. We were the first ones in that play with our recommendation of Underworld Resources a couple of years back.
There was a good one.
That worked out well. And of course, Kamenak, and we see a few other ones coming up and a real buying opportunity right now. I'm going to save some of the specific names for our readers, but our readers, and most people generally know that I'm very bullish on Kamenak around these prices, and the price has weakened a bit, and I think it's in a good buying area right now.
Yeah, there are some really interesting situations up there. I hosted a panel in Vancouver. I guess it was about a month, maybe a month and a half ago. Eric and David Coffin were part of it. Lawrence Ralston was part of it, and the Coffin certainly focused on the Yukon. They both feel that that is perhaps one of the most interesting area plays that we've seen in a long time, vis-a-vis the resource industry. And I would have to say I agree with that. I think that when the weather changes, so to speak, which is going to happen this spring, I mean, it's colder than hell up there right now, and it's pretty tough to work. But when the weather changes, I think that is definitely going to be the area play to consider for 2011. I appreciate you taking some time. One last thing. We got about 30 seconds here. A quick overview of the New Orleans Gold Show.
Well, we had our show in late October, right around Halloween time, and it was a spectacular success. All of our attendees were walking around with smiles on their faces. They were enjoying rich gains. But I don't think many of them guessed at that point how big the gains would be subsequent to that.
Yeah.
Gold has continued to run. Silver's continued to run. And some of the recommendations we made at that show have soared in value. I know one stock I recommended is a drill hole place, Seafield Resources. Has doubled in price today. Everyone who attended that show is very happy, and I think the next year's show, which we're working on diligently right now, will be another big success.
Looking forward to being part of that. Stick around, you guys. Big Al's going to be right back.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Calling all manufacturers from across the United States. Are you eager to have people buy your products right here at home instead of having them buy competing products made on the other side of the world? Do you want to build your business while helping boost our nation's economy at the same time? Then localmakers.com is the website for you. Our site provides an easy way for manufacturers to connect with customers within their local community as well as across the United States. From the small manufacturer who works out of their home to the large manufacturers across the U.S., localmakers.com connects customers to the closest manufacturer by simply entering their zip code. So if you make your own goods and want to expand your market, go to localmakers.com and put your products on one of our shelves. If you're not a local manufacturer but know someone who is, take advantage of the localmakers.com referral program and earn income by getting others to join. Simply go to localmakers.com and register. There's no cost to join. That's localmakers.com. Visit localmakers.com today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Question: what would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. Chatting with my buddy Rick Ackerman. Rick is a commodity expert. He has a newsletter entitled Rick's Picks. Done a fair amount of traveling around the world looking at mining properties. He's a very, very interesting guy, and we're going to chat right now a little bit about something that was came across the wire on Bloomberg yesterday, specifically the comment of the fellow from China. The People's Bank of China advisor came out and said China should consider increasing gold reserves to boost trade in the yuan. Big Al's opinion on this is that I think that this represents the U.S. going down an entirely new path economically, one that perhaps we have not gone down before, and that is I think we're seeing the end of the U.S. as being the number one power in the world from an economic standpoint. Now we have the Chinese and the Russians who are saying, you know what, we're not so sure we want to be focused on the U.S. dollar. We think we want to be focused on something tangible, and we think that that may very well be gold. Rick, what's your opinion on this?
No, it's interesting. The Chinese, in saying what they did, are not saying anything that everyone doesn't know they've been doing anyway. They're diversifying away from the dollar. But it's interesting relative to the very timely talk about currency, the currency wars. Supposedly the Chinese want to keep their currency down to help their exports, but they're really taking a long-term view. It's part of a long-term plan when they talk about, building gold reserves simply to strengthen the yuan. And it comes out of the realization that ultimately a strong currency will best suit their trade rather than the more narrow focus that we have right now on cheapening currencies.
This is the first time that I have seen, when you and I were talking off the air, you know, I mentioned a couple of examples. One of the examples being, back in the days of Bretton Woods in the early 40s, that was instigated by the United States. The United States was clearly viewed as, you know, the ultimate economic power, the ultimate power in the world. Nixon took us off the gold standard in the early 70s. That was a major, major action on the part of the country that was viewed as being the ultimate economic power in the world. Today we're seeing the Chinese and the Russians, and I think other countries will fall in line. I think the French are in discussions, if I'm not mistaken, with the Chinese also about lowering the importance of the U.S. dollar. I have to tell you, Rick, I think it's inevitable It's very, very simple. Business fundamentals always hold true. And the basic fundamental about our country right now, unfortunately, is our income statement stinks. Expenses are way, way overshadowing revenues. And like a business, our country will not be able to survive if this trend continues. And you know what? The Russians, the Chinese, and other people aren't stupid. They know that. Unfortunately, I don't think we've come to that conclusion in the United States yet and taken appropriate action. Comments?
Well, we don't have much to export coming out of whatever we're going into now. And the U.S. was a financial superpower up till the point when things fell apart in 2007. And, you know, emerging, the world's not going to need a financial superpower, and I don't think China even cares whether it's considered one. It really needs economic powers, and the difference between the two is going to become very clear when the Asian countries emerge as very strong exporters and the U.S. has relatively little to sell.
We lost our manufacturing a number of years ago. We lost it to, among other areas, mainland China. It is absolutely criminal in my mind that we let that happen. I have to tell you, I just want to say one thing on a personal note. I think that a very, very large factor, an important factor, and the reason that that happened, quite frankly, Rick, were unions in the United States. Do you think I'm nuts, or would you agree with that?
It took two sides, really. You know, when you look at the decisions which brought the automakers down, in a sense, it was a microcosm of the U.S. government. They were promising things way out in the future that they could never deliver on. And over time, their competitive position diminished, you know, relative to what the Koreans were building and the Europeans in the way of cars. So it was really a slow attrition. But I never, you know, it takes two sides, really, to forge any contract with the unions. And so I don't blame them entirely.
I wouldn't blame them entirely. No, of course not. But I think that there is a factor there. You know, when you look at the situation with the United Auto Workers in Detroit, when you look at the price and the quality, quite frankly, of the U.S. automobiles were for so many years. I mean, I think that was a factor. I think the fact that, you know, you go out and buy a pair of shoes, Rick, in the United States today, and if you want to buy shoes that are made in the United States, say a pair of Allen Edmonds, pair of Johnson & Murphy's, whatever, you're going to pay $200, $300, $400 a pair for those shoes. And you know what? The average American can't afford that. And that I think is part of the reason we've gone in this direction. I do have to say one thing, though. I think that in terms of where people ought to put their money to provide insurance, and I know that I'm a broken record by saying this, but you look what's happening in gold. We're over $1,400 an ounce right now, and as Bloomberg brought out, and here's a direct quote, in the mid and longer term, of course, China is the biggest bullish factor for gold prices, and this is a direct quote from the head of commodity trading at the Standard Bank PLC in Tokyo.
Yeah, I don't think anything is really going to change the picture for gold. You look at gold's rise over the last decade from $250. It's gone up when the story was inflation. It's gone up when the story was deflation. It's gone up when the U.S. economy was seen to be headed down, when the U.S. economy was headed up. So gold has been kind of a performer in all weather. And there's nothing on the horizon that's going to change the big trends that have been moving it up. So I think it's probably no investment is risk-free, but I think gold is about as compelling an investment as you could find right now. It's practically a no-brainer.
You know, it is practically a no-brainer. I mean, with the news that came out yesterday about the unemployment rates, you know, the employment in this country is not increasing at the rate the experts thought it would. We have an official unemployment rate right now of 9.8%. We all know that that number is really, really diluted. The real rate, when you consider discouraged workers, when you consider people who have quit looking, when you consider people who are underemployed, is probably approaching 20% right now. Rick, I have to tell you, some major, major changes have to be made in this country to get us back on track, and that's not going to happen without pain, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Look,
John Williams puts the number already over 20%, but I would go in one better or perhaps one worse, as the case is, that a lot of people who were at the top end of the income ladder, you know, consultants who maybe were making $300,000-$500,000 a year, they're not unemployed and they're never going to show up on the unemployment rolls, but they're critically underemployed.
Sure.
So that's really a factor in the economy, and it's odd because, you know, every little stat that we get that suggests that there's been some uptick in the economy is celebrated on Wall Street, and the Wall Street Journal puts these things up above the fold on front page every time there's a blip. But people anecdotally in their own lives know that that there's really not much improvement in the economy, and you know, it raises the question, well, what is improving?
You know, I got to tell you, I sure don't see it where we're living. I mean, it's, as I said on the air so many times, you can buy virtually, and we're in a nice area, and you can buy virtually anything you want here for 50 cents on the dollar. We're in an area where short sales are really, I don't want to say that they're the norm, but they're certainly not unheard of. There are a lot of short sales up here. That means people who owe way more on their homes, you know, than they're currently valued at. You go into the grocery stores, you look at what people are buying. I have to tell you, my friend, I don't see a major turnaround right now. You got 30 seconds. What are you telling your people to do right now to protect themselves financially?
Well, we're starting to move into some of these junior exploration gold stocks, the junior miners. They've been a little bit recalcitrant, but, you know, you get so much leverage in some of these companies like Silver Wheaton. We've had a position all along just doing covered rights against it. But I think it's just a good time to move into stocks, gold and silver, especially on a speculative end.
How about for those people who are predicting a major fall in the conventional stock market? Do you think that's going to affect the resource market?
For sure. I mean, to some extent, gold and the stocks have been tracking. They've been running on the same track, but there's going to be a divergence eventually, and stocks will head one way, and gold stocks and the metal will go the other way.
Rick, I agree 100%. Hey, listen, I appreciate you taking some time and coming on the show. You're always a great light in the wilderness. Big Al's going to be back for the next hour of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. Stick around.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Cortland Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.